It's all things life and love with an emphasis on healthy relationships. It's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Dr. Rick deals honestly and openly with issues affecting your relationships from a Christian perspective. And now, licensed relationship therapist and marriage coach, Dr. Rick Marks.
Welcome to Real Talk with Dr. Rick Marks. I serve with Live the Life Ministries based here in Jacksonville, Florida. We're a Jacksonville initiative to strengthen marriages and families and to help you walk the abundant life that God desires for you. Yes, at Real Talk with Dr. Rick, we will engage in real talk regarding real issues and direct you to real solutions. If you have a question or a comment, please contact me directly at realtalk@livethelife.org. It's realtalk@livethelife.org. Or why don't you go like us on our Facebook page, Real Talk with Dr. Rick, Real Talk with Dr. Rick on our Facebook page. Like us there, because I'll be posting anecdotes and thoughts and those kind of things throughout the week. And would love to get your feedback on what this show means to you and what value it's had for you. All right, today we're going to have a conversation about what it takes to walk away from something and why is it that we don't walk away from things we need to walk away from. I can think about my life. My wife told me that one of my great strengths is my loyalty, but she says one of your greatest challenges is your loyalty. You don't know when to say no, as she tells me. And, you know, I found that to actually be true. I stayed in jobs longer than I needed to, even when I was being mistreated. I have stayed in positions or not given up on certain relationships because I had these fears and insecurities. And so one of the things that we're going to talk about today is why is it that we, you know, you may have a control freak at home or an abusive husband or an abusive wife or you know, you're dating a jerk and you won't get rid of the jerk in your life or the jerkette, because there's jerkettes out there too. Let's be honest about that. But we keep these people around. We keep these people around us. And what is it about us that will allow someone to mistreat us? What is it about us that we won't say no? What is it about us that you'll stay in a violent, abusive marriage or in a violent or abusive or crazy dating relationship? And so we're going to kind of take a look at that today, all right? I think about a personal story from myself that many, many years ago, I worked for the governor of Kansas, Brownback at the time, and he started a statewide marriage initiative. And he's a phenomenal governor and he was a very good man, solid Christian man. And yet he started a marriage initiative. And on the first day of the job, because of things that happened, I was told I couldn't do the marriage initiative. Though I went there to do a marriage initiative, I was now told I couldn't do the marriage initiative and that I actually had to talk about childhood poverty as a backdoor way to talk about marriage. And I told my leaders it would never work to change the conversation from childhood poverty to from marriage to childhood poverty. Won't work. And sure enough, it did not. And I kept hanging in there and hanging in there. And then after about 5 months there, they told me, oh, by the way, you can't talk about anything right now. We don't know what you're going to talk about. And I'm like, why am I here? Why am I here? I was living in Kansas by myself. My family was still in Jacksonville. They had not moved with me. And I finally came to realization, I'm only here for a paycheck. I'm only in Kansas for a paycheck now because I'm not doing my call. I'm not fulfilling what I'm supposed to be fulfilling. I'm not being true to myself. Had I been doing the marriage initiative, it would have been, but it's clear they weren't going to do it. And so basically I wrote up what I call the Kansas Strengthening Family Initiative, drafted that, we presented it to the powers that be. They actually liked it, and I said, great, that's wonderful. Hire so-and-so to do it. I'm going back home. And what led me to decide to go back home was I was talking to Luella, and I said, honey, I'm only here for a paycheck. I admit that to you now. And she just said, come home. You see, one of the reasons I was hanging on was fear of not being able to provide for my family. I stayed in a very unhealthy place of employment. It happened to be a church. because fear that I could never be successful on my own, a fear that if I walked away, I wouldn't be able to provide. And so it was the fears that kept me from progressing and becoming all that God wanted me to be. You see, maybe you're an employer and you know you need to get rid of an employee, but you won't do it. Maybe you're dating a jerk or you're dating a jerkette, and you know the relationship is not what you want for your life and you wouldn't marry this person, but you won't stop the dating, though you know you should. Why is it that we see a necessary ending, but we won't end it? I think about these situations, right? Because in these kind of situations, you have to make a decision. Think of these. End a dating relationship that's not going to go where it needs to go. Or you need to fire an employee who should have been fired, but you didn't, right? Maybe there's a social tie or a social group that you have been a part of, but the season of being a part of that group or with that group has basically ended. Maybe you need to let go of a dream. You ever thought about that? Maybe you need to let go of a dream because you know now that it won't materialize and you need to move on and find a different dream. Maybe you need to leave a job or a career that you know is not right and that maybe even is even toxic for you. This is the toughest one I'm about to say. Maybe you should end a marriage damaged by repeated unfaithfulness, and that person is not changing, has no desires to change, or that person beats you or severely harms you, or severe alcohol or drug abuse, and you stay in the trauma. Maybe you admit that something is actually failing, it's not going well, and maybe you just need to wave the white flag and say, you know what, it's over. Maybe there are some relationships in your life, and maybe some of these are family ties that are highly toxic, and maybe you need to just unplug from those and just say goodbye. Clinically, by the way, that's called an emotional cutoff. Emotional cutoffs can be very healthy for you, because in doing an emotional cutoff, you're able to heal, and you're able to heal and let things go. And maybe you need to give up on an addict or someone who does not want to change. You know the old adage that you can't change someone. There's a real truth in that. No one's going to change until they care enough to change, as we say in our world. And if you don't care enough to change, you're not. The problem is, if you don't care enough to change, you understand you're going to be harming other people with you. If you're a wife and you're in a violent relationship with your husband, by choosing to stay in the violent relationship with your husband, you understand you're also allowing the kids to be further traumatized, because for every decision you make to not end something that needs to be ended, the consequences of staying in those things kind of leak out onto the children and has an effect on them. You see, I remember my own personal walk. I was raised by my dad and my stepmom, and I was raised to hate my biological mother, and I did. I wasn't allowed to call her mom or mommy growing up. I posted a talk on my own personal Facebook page about this not too long ago, you know, because I've gone public with this story. And yet, I would never accept my biological mother because I was raised to hate her. I was not raised to bond to her, but I kept hanging on to my stepmother, who did not emotionally want to be a mother to me, constantly putting me down, always negative. And I would never, ever, ever let it go. Folks, it was until I was 30 years old that I gave up and accepted the realization that my stepmother didn't want to be that kind of a mother to me. But my biological mother did. But until I was willing to give up and realize this relationship with her is over, it's over, and it's okay, only then did God direct me to the mother that always wanted to be a mother to me, that always was that apple tree, you see, always was that apple tree to me that I needed, but I kept trying to force an orange tree to give me an apple. And so we can all relate to something maybe on that list, all right? But endings are necessary. Endings are necessary. There are things that are going to end. Chapters do end. But when there's a closing of a chapter, there's got to be an opening of a chapter. Whenever you say goodbye to something, you got to say hello to something, you know? And endings are an essential part of life, all right? Think about it this way. The Old Testament says everything has a season. Everything has a season, you know. In some seasons of things in your life, they're over. You know, the winter time is over. It's time to move on and go do a harvest somewhere or plant something. You see, everything has seasons in life, and we have to be able to recognize when someone or something's time has come, and it's you must move on to the next season. Maybe you're listening to me right now, and you're wrestling with leaving a job, or you're wrestling with even leaving a church because it's toxic to you, and you need to find something that God wants for you in a different way. Maybe that chapter of your life is over, but you're not willing to leave because I'm not being fit spiritually, and I don't trust this person, but I have my friends. So you stay in there for the friendship, though you're not being fed spiritually, you see. Or maybe there is some people in your life who hurt you and harm you and belittle you and put you down. And yet you can't stand it, and you cry and you hurt and you grieve in your soul. But yet you keep those people around. Why? Because, the old adage, bad love is better than no love. Negative attention is still better than no attention. You see, and that kind of thinking is really about not having the intestinal fortitude in the faith in God that if you close this chapter, he is still with you, and he's gonna move on with you. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. You see, everything has a season, and we have to be able to recognize when something's time has passed and to be able to move into the next season. And everything that is alive, listen folks, everything that is alive requires pruning, all right? And as Dr. Cloud of the book Boundary says, the idea of pruning is a really great metaphor, and I actually agree with him, because look at what he writes here. He says, gardeners prune a rose bush for three reasons, all right? So he uses the idea of pruning as a way to think about endings, all right? So here's what he says. Gardeners prune a rose bush for three reasons. Number one, the bush produces more buds than it can sustain, and some good ones have to go, so the best ones have the resources of the bush. I'm going to share that one again. He says one of the reasons a gardener prunes a rose bush is because the bush produces more buds than it can actually sustain, and so some good ones have to go, so the best ones have the resources of the bush. Number two reason, he says, that gardeners prune is because there are some branches and buds that are sick and not going to get well. There are some things, the branches and some of the buds are sick and they're not going to get well. And if you keep the sick branches and buds on the bush, it's going to affect the whole bush. And so you protect the whole by getting rid of those things that are not going to provide positive to the whole. And then he says the third reason that a gardener prunes a rose bush is that there are some that are already dead and are taking up space. Let me say that one again. There are some that are already dead and they're just taking up space. You see, then he makes this application. So listen here. He says, let's apply this to life. He said, well, number one, over time, you gather more activities, relationships, work and interests, etc., that you can really feed with the best of your time and energy. You have to realize that you cannot go deep with everything and figure out which ones you're going to invest in. I remember because of my loyalty being good, but also the negative side, I have a tendency to don't know when to say no. And there was a time many, many years ago that I was in graduate school. I was working full time, going to school full time, keeping my wife and my three small children at home. I was working with Dr. Magadzi, who I love and respect still to this day. I was doing all these things and trying to juggle all these things, and I didn't have any healthy boundaries to say enough's enough. I need to get some things out of my life. And one of the greatest things that I learned is to say no. No, I can't do that. No, this needs to end. You know what? This part of my life is over. I need to now invest in this part of my life. One of the greatest gifts I gave myself are the boundaries that allow me to think through what I need in my life, what I don't need in my life, and then the ability to say, you know what? This needs to cut out. Some people have to cut out certain people in your life. As I said earlier, you may need to cut out a certain organization or a system or social activity. Why? It's beyond where you are. Maybe it's toxic and you don't need that toxicity. I find it interesting that people will stay in toxic environments just to have someone say, I'm a friend. But yet you keep complaining about being in the toxic environment. Folks, if you're in a toxic environment and you know it's toxic and you're staying in it, I'm just going to look at you and go, hey, it ain't about the environment. It's about what is it about you that won't say enough's enough. This is over for my life. I don't need this in my life. You see? Face it, folks. There are people who you've tried everything with and to get them to get it, or work issues to which where you've also tried things. There's no reason to keep throwing good money away. You know? You've got to be able to say no. We got to be able to say no. And so why do people not let things go? What is it about us that says, you know what? I'm going to stay in this. I have some thoughts. Number one, the biggest one, at least from my own experience and my years of counseling, is fear. Now, fear is an interesting emotion because fear will always rob us of a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. It robs you of the ability to love. Love is focused on others, where fear will make you focus on yourself. And then, it's interesting, you lose power. You see, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And you have to recognize, whatever it is you fear, then that thing that you fear, and even if the thing you fear is the unknown, then the unknown now has power over you. To move into fear and live out of fear and to decide from fear actually is evidence you've lost control of yourself. You don't have personal power. Thus, you're going to be focused on yourself. Thus, you really can't love. And we know what the brain does neurochemically to the brain and how it makes the brain function. You make really poor decisions. You don't have a sound mind. Why? Because you're not thinking rationally, because fear robs the rational brain from its ability to function. And so, you know, maybe your fear is you'll be alone. Maybe your fear is that no one will like you. Maybe your fear is that you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Maybe your fear is that God will be disappointed in you because you got a religious teaching that says if you don't do this, 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 and this, then God is going to be disappointed in you. And if you were to leave that church system or that group over here that says we're the best of all the groups like us, and you leave it, then somehow you think that there's nothing better out there in the world because they have declared themselves to be the best. Not thinking through that the moment you say you are the best, that's prideful in itself. And I always say, now you're just one of many. And so fear has the ability to rob us from making those decisions. So now ask yourself, that thing that you need to put closure to, that thing in your life you need to say goodbye to, that thing that you need to get out of your life, that person that you need to say, no, you're too dangerous and disrespectful and you're not changing and you don't want to change, but I can't do this anymore. What do you fear? What's your fear? What in you is afraid? Identify the fear. I just identify the fear and then ask yourself, is this really something I need to be afraid about? Take that to the Lord. Fear robs us of faith, brothers and sisters. It robs us of faith. And yet, the remedy to faith is perfect love, because perfect love casts out fear, and God is perfect love. And he doesn't want you to walk in fear alone. That's why he always has the one another verses in the New Testament, 59 of them, that we're to comfort one another, encourage one another, and support one another, and to mourn with those that mourn, and to speak the truth with love. Why? Because fear robs us of seeing the truth, but the truth, in spite of our fears, still stands outside of us, beckoning us. Trust me. I am truth. Trust me. Will you challenge your fears? I will not leave you. I think another reason why people don't close things is because they have beliefs or irrational ways of thinking that lock them into the violence. You see this right now going on in the whole Me Too / Church Too crowd in the evangelical church that is now coming out at the national level, of pastors who have told women they have to stay in violent relationships because God hates divorce. And so what they don't recognize is they're basically saying, okay, God hates divorce, so he hates you being beat and battered less than you divorcing and staying safe and protecting your children. I mean, that's the message that's being sent. And so you have these belief systems that have been taught you, but you've never questioned them. You've never questioned them. This is the best organization. This is the best place to work. No one would ever want you because, see, your own way of thinking, low self-esteem, your own self-deprecation says you're not good enough. You see? So sometimes it's our own way of thinking that robs us of our ability to make a move. For me, it was always a sense that I'm not good enough, you see. And if I was ever to be on my own, that I would never make it because, see, I'm not good enough. And what I've actually come to find out is I thrive better on my own. I thrive when I can work with people who trust me to be who I am and know that I know how to be a soldier and a sailor. I was in the Navy for 12 years. I know how to salute. But don't rob me of being me. You see, a lot of church systems or religious systems or business systems that you go into, many of them say you're not allowed to be yourself. You have to be what we tell you to be. And that's true in the military. But even in the military, you get to be an individual. They just teach you how to be an individual in the context of a team. But when an organization strips your sense of who you are, and they you're not allowed to be your own person, nah, that's unhealthy. I say get away from that. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, Scripture says. How marvelous are your thoughts of me. You see, when we get our mind thinking right about who we are, we're sons, we're daughters, and we are good enough. We do matter. We do have value. We do have worth. Why? Because the cross declares that we do. The cross says you're worthy. Why? Because you don't die for things you hate. You die for things that you feel are worthy. You die for things you value. You die for things that matter to you. You see? And so you've got to check your own thinking and see, do I have these beliefs that keep me from doing this? Or maybe it's fear. A lot of times it's shame and guilt. Maybe you've done something and you feel that this is your way of penance. This is your suffering, if you will. And so you have to stay in an abusive environment or whatever it might be because this is your way of being paid back. You know, that's kept a lot of people in organizations or doing things or kept people in their lives. Well, I did this, so I have to endure that. No, you don't. You own up to your mistakes. You seek forgiveness and repentance. You do repent and you seek forgiveness. But that doesn't mean you let people continue to harm you. You have a brain. Grow and mature and heal, but you still have people respect you. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. A husband who loves his wife loves and respects himself. If I don't love and respect myself, I can't love Luella well, according to what the Scripture teaches in Ephesians 5. You see, so consider some questions here then. How do you look at endings in general? Do you perceive endings to be natural? Do you have a worldview that everything has its season and it has its life cycle? Or do you think that if something comes to an end, it means that something must be wrong? You know, if you're still parenting a 23-year-old or a 24-year-old or a 30-year-old, there's something wrong with the kid, but you haven't recognized your time of being a mom and dad is over. I've told my kids, they're in their mid to late 20s now. I said, I'm no longer your parent. You parent children. You don't parent adults. So from this day forward, I can be and want to be a coach for you as you allow me to be. But I don't parent adults. You parent children to become adults so they learn how to make healthy decisions, you see. When you see that you need to let go of something or a person or what happens inside of you, what do you do? Do fears emerge? Do you feel paralyzed? Do you believe that you can address those things that need to change? Here's another one. Have you really thought about the fact that if you don't do the needed pruning in the areas where it's needed, you won't get what you ultimately want? Did you get that? If you don't prune the areas of your life that you need to prune, have you ever thought that you're not going to ever achieve the things you want to achieve anyways? Why? Because you're letting dead branches hang on. You're letting the sick ones hang around you. And it's not until you prune those things out of your life and put the good things in your life can the next chapter really be written and really emerge, you see. People don't ever receive the blessings of God as God intends them because they're still hanging on to something from the past or it's in the present that they know they need to let go of, all right? And by the way, if you're holding on to hope for something that really is over, I don't call that hope. I call that a fantasy. Hope is based in reality. Fantasy denies reality. And the reality is sometimes that person does not want to be in your life. It wants nothing to do with you. So for you, keep hoping that they're going to come to you. I'm glad if you do. And if you want to wait 15 years, 20 years, or 30 years, that's okay. But quit complaining is my way of thinking about it, because you've made a decision to stay in the brokenness. You've made a decision to stay with someone who doesn't care. You've made a decision to stay with someone who mistreats you and disrespects you. And if you make a conscious decision to stay in that relationship, I've always found it kind of disingenuous to complain about it when you know that's what you get and you've chosen to stay in it anyways. Folks, Christ is the hope of the world. And I have hoped when my wife and I were struggling in areas of our life, but I didn't live in fantasy. I dealt with the issues and dealt with the problems, you see. And so if there's something in your life that you need to let go of, talk about it, get counsel about it, get some input. And if you need to let it go, close that chapter. It's a necessary ending. Let it end, and then turn your face towards God and look to see what he has for you so that he can show you what the next chapter is that he wants for you. And by the way, it is scary. I know, been there. You have to walk in faith. I know. It tested my faith, and I'm so glad I chose to walk in it. So this is Real Talk with Dr. Rick. I hope this has maybe encouraged you, give you some things to think about, and maybe even inspired some of you to go ahead and take that next step, close that door, and then open the door that God has for you and receive the blessings of whatever that might be. And by the way, challenge your fears, walk in faith, trust him. Trust him. This is Dr. Rick Marks with Live the Life Ministries in Jacksonville, Florida. Reach out to us at Facebook, Live the Life, Real Talk with Dr. Rick. Thank you.
Healthy living, healthy relationships. This has been Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Feel free to let us know what's on your mind. Email us at realtalk@livethelife.org and join the conversation by liking Real Talk with Dr. Rick on Facebook. We hope you can join us next Saturday at 1:30 for another edition of Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth.